You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four soundbites to play for you, and you can vote for them by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or the Facebook fan page. We got one from Dr. Adam Francisco, one from Pastor Heath Curtis, one from Pastor Chris Rosebro, and one from Pastor Peter Bender. 1-877-623-6943. Soundbite number one this week comes from Dr. Adam Francisco. We were doing a little Apologetics 101 with him, responding to various objections to the resurrection. Here he is responding to the naturalist objection.
First of all, it's probably the most common objection, and it lies underneath all other objections. That is to say that those who reject that the tomb being empty on Easter morning is at best accounted for by the resurrection of Jesus, for them, for most people that don't believe it, they assume that miracles can't happen. So they come up with other theories to explain the empty tomb because the evidence is so compelling that there was an empty tomb on Easter morning, and there's lots of good eyewitness type of accounts and other sorts of evidence for it. So that naturalist assumption is pretty common in our culture, has been ever since the Enlightenment. And it basically starts with an assumption, you could say a faith-like assumption, that all there is nature, and nature is all there is. So everything that happens has to be accounted for by natural causation or natural means. And that's sort of in universities or areas of higher ed, that's the assumption everywhere. But at the bottom, it really is a faith type of assumption. That like Carl Sagan in that old PBS special, Cosmos, says that the cosmos is all there is, was, never shall be. But the issue is the evidence is so overwhelming that to account for that empty tomb, you have to go with the resurrection. There's no other way of explaining it if you follow the evidence. So the naturalist assumption applied to the issue of the resurrection rides roughshod over all the evidence. And it really, I mean, to put it in, I guess, scientific terms, it really is not a scientific approach to this historical question of what accounts for the empty tomb if you're ignoring massive amounts of evidence.
That's Dr. Adam Francisco in soundbite number one responding to the naturalist objection to the resurrection. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Here's soundbite number two. It comes from Pastor Heath Curtis. He's giving some advice for churches that may be in danger because of the pandemic of closing their doors.
If you're involved in the leadership of a congregation that is kind of on the edge, here's what I would like you to think about instead of, oh no, we're going to close. It's not all or nothing. It's not we're going to close our doors or we're going to continue limping along. Let's put the Word of God first. Let's teach people what the Word of God says about stewardship. And then let's ask them what they're going to give, therefore, in the next year. And now you know your capacity. And then you just take a real clear-eyed look at that. It takes $120,000 to have a full-time pastor. If you're coming up short of that, you need to think about how do we cooperate in ministry. And if you're right on that line, great, awesome. Our church of 50 people on a Sunday morning, we can put $140,000 in the plate. What can we do with that little bit of money we have above and beyond what it costs to run our place on bare bones? How could we join with the parish next door to have a better youth group, to have a better food pantry, to have better outreach, to hire a musician so we have at least every other week have a really competent professional musician leading our choirs, playing our organ? So if congregations would think more in those terms, determine my capacity, and then take a clear-eyed look at, okay, so what does that number mean for our future? How can we cooperate locally, work together? If more congregations took that approach, we would see fewer closures, more cooperation, and a wonderful use of the diverse gifts that our Lord Jesus has given to his body.
That's soundbite number two, Pastor Heath Curtis, with some advice for churches in danger of closing. If you'd like that one to be soundbite of the week, it needs your vote. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Pastor Chris Roseborough, explaining how Christ has become, well, a supporting character in much of evangelical preaching.
This coming Sunday on the three-year series, which we're at Kongsvinger, you know, we have the Road to Emmaus account where Christ opens up the biblical text to these fellows on the Road to Emmaus who've been overcome with doubts and unbelief regarding Jesus because of the crucifixion. And Jesus, you know, chides them and basically says, oh, you slow of heart, you know, and not willing to read and consider all the things that were written about the Christ. And then he opens up the scriptures, all the things related to himself. And so the Bible is about Christ. It's about his redemptive acts to save us. It's in type and shadow and in symbols in the Old Testament, fulfillment in the New, laid out clearly and unambiguously in the theology of the epistles. And I mean, and it's just brilliant. I mean, it's such amazing. It's an amazing story. Connecting it all to Christ really gives us the true sense of what the Bible is about. And the Emmaus story really brings that to light. And by thinking that the Bible's about me, that I have to make it relatable to other people, it then makes it so that Christ becomes a supporting character that makes few appearances in Scripture, and you don't know what to do with them, whereas myself and other people then become the heroes of the text and the main focus of these texts. And when you do that, that's narcissism and idolatry. All kind of rolled up into one, and you miss Jesus and the good news that brings. As a result of it, you have the faith that reads these texts these ways is full of doubts and uncertainty and an inability to have any confidence of salvation inability to rightly understand the biblical text and a nagging belief that none of it makes sense anyway and that it's not even real. You know, so this type of preaching doesn't create faith, and nor does it feed faith and sustain it. It actually pulls at the fabric of it and pulls it apart.
That's soundbite number three, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Christ becoming a supporting character in much of evangelical preaching. Vote for that one by giving us a call live this Friday, May the 1st, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Get ready to vote, because after we play soundbite number four, we're going to take a break, and then we'll take your phone calls, 1-877-623-MYIE. Soundbite number four this week comes from Pastor Peter Bender with some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the Lord's Supper.
Perishable food is transformed into the body which eats it. This food, however, transforms the person who eats it into what it is in itself and makes him like itself, spiritual, alive, and eternal. As Christ says, this is the bread from heaven which gives life to the world. If Christ's flesh is eaten, nothing but spirit comes of it. For it is a spiritual flesh and does not let itself be transformed, but transforms the person who eats it and gives him the spirit. This maggot sack, our body, also has the hope of the resurrection of the dead and of the life everlasting. It must also become spiritual and digest and consume everything that is fleshly in it. When the body eats it physically, this food digests the body's flesh and transforms it so that it too becomes spiritual, that is alive and blessed forever. It is as if a wolf devoured a sheep, and the sheep were so powerful a food that it transformed the wolf and turned him into a sheep. So when we eat Christ's flesh physically and spiritually, the food is so powerful that it transforms us into itself, and out of fleshly, sinful, mortal men makes spiritual, holy, living men. This we are already, though in a hidden manner in faith and hope. The fact is not yet manifest, but we shall experience it on the last day.
That's soundbite number 4, Pastor Peter Bender, some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Vote for that one by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Will it be soundbite number 1, Dr. Adam Francisco, responding to the naturalist objection to the resurrection? Soundbite number 2, Pastor Heath Curtis with some advice for churches in danger of closing. Soundbite number 3 from Pastor Chris Roseborough with Christ as a supporting character in preaching. Or soundbite number 4, Pastor Peter Bender, some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the supper. Your vote decides next. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
I know what's wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact you got the vote. Everybody needs to vote.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday, May the 1st. We have played the 4 soundbites for you, and now it's your turn. Your votes will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Jim in Rio Rancho, New Mexico says, number 4 on the Lord's Supper was the clearest statement of a confessional approach I have ever heard. It ought to be coming from Luther, who worked through his understanding of the supper more thoroughly than anyone ever did. The powerful aspect of the statement is the affirmation that in this meal, Christ not only is present, but active, and is so with decisive effect. Jim, thank you very much for that, and thank you for listening in New Mexico. Scott listens in Bryan, Texas. He says, I'm going to have to vote for soundbite number 3, Pastor Chris Roseborough. His ministry introduced me to Lutheran doctrine, and I have a great amount of respect for him. The topic that the Bible is about Jesus is something I learned from his teaching and how to discern bad teaching. Even though it took a number of years, I eventually brought my family to the Lutheran Church and Chris and the topic that Jesus is the main character of Scripture are responsible. Thank you very much, Scott. Thanks for listening in Texas. In Otter Tail, Minnesota, David says, I vote for soundbite number one. Christianity happened in history, and Dr. Francisco gives a great summary of why the resurrection is factual. However, we know it happened because that's what is in soundbite number three, as Pastor Rosebro points out. Jesus explained it all. Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tomb, granting life. David, thanks for your vote. Sam in Kyle, North Carolina says, this week I'm voting for soundbite number four with Pastor Bender. That unpacking of the sacrament by Dr. Luther is powerful. I dare say that many Lutherans don't even believe that. If they did, I don't think the current COVID mania would have completely shuttered many Lutheran churches. They would have continued serving the gifts of Christ, even if it took many small services to do so. This crisis has been an attack on the body and blood of Christ, and all too many Lutheran pastors and congregations went along with it. May God grant us repentance and allow his sheep back to the altar again to partake of this medicine of immortality. Keep up the great work, Sam. Thanks for listening in North Carolina. Susan's listening in Davenport, Iowa. She's voting for soundbite number two, Pastor Heath Curtis, with some advice for churches in danger of closing. Practical encouragement and suggestions, timely, to the point, Christ-centered, not me-go-centric, and emphasizing the body of Christ working together, both inter- and intra-congregational. God's grace, mercy, and peace to you. Thanks, Susan. Jacob listens in Canada. He says, I'm voting for responding to the natural objection to the resurrection because this was an apologetic argument that just opened my eyes and strengthened my faith in Jesus Christ. Riley listens in Spokane, Washington. Riley says, I would like to cast my vote for soundbite number four, Pastor Peter Bender, sharing Luther's thoughts on the sacrament of the altar. I should insist that the credit be divided between him and Luther if this soundbite wins this week. Excellent programming this week. Thank you for keeping up the great work. Thank you. Thank you. Mary says, wow, Pastor Bender's soundbite on Luther's teaching of the Lord's Supper gets my vote. This food that is so powerful that it transforms the person who eats it into itself, like a wolf who devours a sheep and is transformed into the sheep. Teaching so deep and profound that I was compelled to replay it several times. Mary, thank you. Gabriel listens in Denmark. He says, Europe's oldest kingdom. I have to vote not only for Dr. Francisco's soundbite, but for the whole interview. It was one of the most concise and comprehensive apologetics analyses on the veracity of the resurrection I have heard in a long time. I'm even emailing the link of this interview to friends and family. Kudos to both, and thanks for sharing it as well, Gabriel. Indy says, loved Pastor Chris Rosebro's teaching about the Bible, a beautiful reminder that it's not about us, but about our Savior. I saved the clip to share. It's assurance that so many are seeking. God bless issues, etc. Thank you. Doris is voting for, which one's she voting for? Pastor Bender, I believe. Honestly, really none of them was a clear choice for my vote. They all had great merits, but sometimes I'm drawn to one. So my vote goes to Pastor Bender's soundbite, as I needed to not take for granted what I'm receiving in the Lord's Supper, nor minimize the pure divine miracle that we are all missing so much at this time. When this opens up and we attend the service again in person, how much more do we need to understand what our spirit has been longing for? My next opportunity for communion will be with tears and thanksgiving. Thanks, Doris. Nud in Denmark says, no doubt Pastor Bender's soundbite, like cleaning up misunderstandings, speaking clear and faith-building of the depth of communion, of the unity with Christ, where he changes me and I become him instead of normal foods, reversing the change into being part of me. Thanks for listening out there in Denmark. Dave listens in Owosso, Oklahoma. Any soundbite with the word maggot sack has to win soundbite of the week. My apologies for the lack of theological reasoning. Seriously, though, Pastor Bender is such a blessing. We all learn more of God's word every time he talks. I completely agree with that sentiment. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Oklahoma, Dave. Christy listens in Waco, Texas. She says, an amazing selection of soundbites. Makes it difficult to choose, but I love listening to Pastor Rosebro, so I have to go with him. It never ceases to amaze me how easily churches can push Jesus to the side, whether they realize it or not, and make him an occasional reference instead of the center of Scripture's teaching. I've heard Pastor Rosebro joke that these churches and preachers keep Jesus locked up in the back somewhere and drag him out for a quick minute during the sermon, then shove him back into his little room so they can go on talking about you. If you're reading Scripture and seeing yourself more than you see Jesus, you're absolutely doing it wrong. First time jumping onto Soundbite of the Week, being at home these days frees up a little more extra time for these things. Christy, thank you, and thanks for listening in Texas. Let's see what Jens has to say in Palisade, Colorado. Hi, Jens.
Hey, Todd. Hey, I was voting for Soundbite number 4, Peter Bender, and I guess the reason would be I just thought I knew everything about the Lord's Supper before, so then later on in life I realized that I didn't know it all, so I'm still learning about it, and so that's why I'm voting for Soundbite number 4.
Thank you very much, Jens. I appreciate that vote. Dale in St. Charles, Missouri says, my vote for Soundbite of the Week is the one about Jesus as a supporting character. I feel this is exactly why the church has so little effect today. The speaker rightly points out that we have placed ourselves in the forefront and have reduced Christ to the role of a celestial cheerleader. We who have no power have taken the one who has all power completely out of the arena. Very well put, Dale, and thanks for listening in St. Charles. Will listens in Clayton, Missouri. He says, I vote for Soundbite number 4 is the best. I love how Luther says that unlike regular food, Christ's body and blood transform us to be like him. The analogy of the sheep and the wolf is beautiful and shows God changes us through the supper. I am in the process of being confirmed in the LCMS right now and deeply longing to eat and drink his body and blood given and shed for me on Calvary and raised for my justification on the third day. The doctrines of Lutheranism, of Scripture, particularly this one, provide me with comfort and joy beyond comparison. Thank you, Will. Thanks for listening, and Clayton. Nicola in Wisconsin says, I'm voting for Soundbite number 4, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. With this customarily vivid language, Luther brings the power of God's work, word, and grace in the sacrament to the fore, guarding against the idea that the Holy Communion is a work of ours. It brings so much comfort to know that though we have no life in our maggot sack bodies, when we partake of Christ's body, he gives it to us, his life, and changes us wolves into sheep. This life, this forgiveness of sins and salvation, is truly a gift and a miracle worked in us by God. We don't yet fully see it, but in the bread from heaven, we have his pledge of resurrection where it will be manifest. What joy, says Nicola. The winner this week of Soundbite of the Week, according to your votes, is Soundbite number 4, Pastor Peter Bender, some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the Lord's Supper.
Perishable food is transformed into the body which eats it. This food, however, transforms the person who eats it into what it is in itself, and makes him like itself, spiritual, alive, and eternal. As Christ says, this is the bread from heaven which gives life to the world. If Christ's flesh is eaten, nothing but spirit comes of it. For it is a spiritual flesh and does not let itself be transformed, but transforms the person who eats it and gives him the spirit. This maggot sack, our body, also has the hope of the resurrection of the dead and of the life everlasting. It must also become spiritual and digest and consume everything that is fleshly in it. When the body eats it physically, this food digests the body's flesh and transforms it so that it too becomes spiritual, that is alive and blessed forever. It is as if a wolf devoured a sheep, and the sheep were so powerful a food that it transformed the wolf and turned him into a sheep. So when we eat Christ's flesh physically and spiritually, the food is so powerful that it transforms us into itself, and out of fleshly, sinful, mortal men makes spiritual, holy, living men. This we are already, though in a hidden manner in faith and hope. The fact is not yet manifest, but we shall experience it on the last day.
That's soundbite number four, the winner of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Peter Bender with some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Scott in Bryan, Texas, and Christy in Waco, Texas, if you would send us your mailing address and your shirt size, you get the LPR bundle package. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with home and car loans, checking and savings accounts, debit and credit cards. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Matt Walsh about the church's capitulation to culture. We'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to the book of Philemon, and we'll continue our series, The Words of Scripture, talking with Pastor Whedon about goodness. It is a food, it's ordinary bread, but it is also the body of Christ, so it is not an ordinary meal. It is not ordinary food. It is, in fact, as one of our listeners pointed out, the medicine of immortality. So we receive this food the way we receive other food in our mouths, and yet also with faith, and thereby Christ himself, the risen Christ, is able to transform us into his body. I'm Todd Wilken. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.